Good morning. Welcome to Tuesday, day 44 of our 49 days. Getting down there. So today we'll start with our egg breathing. Again, we're just focusing on filling the whole volume of our chest and body. So as you're doing the inhale and exhale for the internal egg, now we're gonna play it into two parts. So it's all basically the same thing. We're just trying to use our attention and focus to refine just a couple of kind of nerve muscle things or energetic things. So when we breathe into the whole body, basically to the throat all the way to the bottom, in the sense of the shape of your egg, just try that. Then as you breathe out, allow a feeling of energy to settle into the space in your belly. And then when you breathe in again, try and feel that now the egg is just between your diaphragm and your perineal floor. So although you're filling the space differently, it's just going to involve a lot more tangible muscle control. And then as you would breathe out again, that's when you want to have a feeling of the energy settling into your sacrum or into your spine. So if that seems like too much to do first thing in the morning, then don't. But it will become a helpful tool within the next couple of days, because we're just doing some final refinements on our breath work. So again, inhale, filling the whole egg, the whole body. Exhale, let the feeling of energy settle. And as you inhale, focus on the egg being between your diaphragm and your perineal floor. And that fills up with that yolk-like feeling and color. As you exhale, that sense of yolk and color just moves into your spine. So just do that. Inhale. Fill the big egg. Exhale. Let the belly turn into a feeling of the yolk. Inhale. Let the yolk expand and become a brighter color or imbued with something magical you might need right now. And then as you exhale, that yolk just is invited, not pushed, not forced, just invited to come in through the sacrum and spine. Now, if you need that sense of yolk somewhere else, say into your liver, it's spring, the cleanse starts tomorrow. You could do the same thing. It's just on that last breath. Well, let's all try that for your liver. So inhale, fill your egg. Exhale, settle into the yolk belly. Inhale, and try and strengthen or brighten that sense of what's happening in your belly. And then as you exhale, you would just imagine that light or that energy or that yolk just sort of shifting over and invited to go and enter your liver. Now, the thing that's going to make this a little bit more tangible and a bit easier for the idea of intention to work, is basically using that contraction of the perineal floor to guide it a little bit, to use that triangle off of your sit bone to just sort of keep your attention and intention going to a specific place. So we've talked a little bit about the idea of E, the part of the mind that is partially attention, partially intention, and that's sort of the primary focus of meditation, at least in the Taoist tradition, you know, to study attention with attention, if you will. There's a saying, Yi Ling Qi, the mind or that part of the mind leads Qi. And Qi is really too hard to explain, so we'll just play with the idea of energy, but that's the idea with a lot of the contractions, the direction, the visualizations, and things like that. Just to notice that the more profoundly aware your attention and intention are, the more profoundly tangible and real, I would guess, those sensations and those energetic opportunities actually are. Otherwise, people wouldn't keep doing this for thousands of years, because why would you keep doing it if it didn't work? So that's a really potent breath practice, playing with the contractions when you feel up to it. You don't have to do that with every breath, but it does really reinforce again, a bunch of nerve muscle memories or embodiment memories. And how you remember your embodiment is how you remember you. So quickly, we're going to talk about those three minds, and then we're going to get into one of them. So the three spiritual or shamanic minds, one is what we call the inner eye or the first eye. Some people have the third eye, which relates to your pineal glands, which is why we're doing all of this tricky breath work. And we're going to do an experiment with it on Saturday just to see if we can put it all together. We have three other little tiny components to work on before then, so the timing will be perfect. So that first mind is what we experience as information, as state, as metaphor, symbolism, within the visionary capacity of your inner mind. And I would encourage you to take a moment and reflect on this truth, that when we do things that are most impactful, especially in a sensual level, we always close our eyes. You know, the most delicious food, we close our eyes and want to savor it and see what the real experience is. When we kiss someone in a really, really meaningful way, we often close our eyes because we want to see on the inside what really is happening. And I could go on and on with those kind of examples, but there's an inborn truth to all human beings, especially those who dream, which is almost everyone, that we actually rely on an inner visual affirmation and dreamlike orientation to our existence. So it only makes sense that one of the most fundamental spiritual minds would be the place you instinctually go for truth or for affirmation or for something that reflects your fundamental existence. Because, and maybe this is sad, but from the moment you're born, well, actually probably for months before you're even born up until the day you die, most of your deepest self affirmational experiences come from intuition and dreaming. And, you know, if you're into visionary practice, you know, which is why vision questing and stuff is a big deal, because those visions guide our life. And that's why we look inside of our visioning self to guide our life. So that's a big part of the breath work. It's a big part of pretty much every spiritual tradition that's more than 5 minutes old, is to actually activate, witness, and learn from what happens inside your pineal gland. And we'll talk about that maybe a bit more on Thursday, in the sense of, holy crap, there's crazy things actually happening there that we can see with science. The two other minds, one is called the sky mirror, we're going to talk about today. And the last one is the earth garden. Excuse me. My flu is winning, folks. Hope I make it through the week. So we have those three minds, and we're just making sure we're really clear on what is going on with our pineal mind, because, again, that's our deepest associative place. The sky mirror, when we get into it, I guess the first thing I would ask, if we were all doing this in a room, would be for each of us to say out loud what we think the color of the sky is today. What the color of the sky was on our last birthday, what the color of the sky was the time we saw it, maybe near the equator or the North Pole or somewhere, so that we can have a sense of, it's kind of subjective and it's kind of different. And the sky mirror obviously has a lot to do with what we would call spiritual traditions, ideas, religion, and stuff like that. So if we were to look out the window and look at the sky right now, what would the color be? In the sense of how you would interpret it or try and talk about it. Because the only way we can put what we see and experience in the visioning part of our existence is with language. And I have nothing against any and or every any spiritual practice or tradition or religion. I'm just a seeker of truth. And if the truth is our best attempts to express what we experience when we look up to the sky, metaphorically or literally, is language. So the question I would ask anyone with words, haha, is would you like your deepest, most profound relationship with spirit or ancestors or gods or God or Fred or whatever you want to talk about. If you want that experience limited by the words you know, then that's one way to go. And that's when we come to the very potent realization of the distinction between your narrative existence, which is through time in a way with words, and then your state orientation to being, which is what's happening now. People hate when I do that. Okay, so if we're gonna have some actual tangible, memorable, real, if that's a word, experiences with respect to the sky mirror, the question I would start with is, do you think you know what's happening? If you think you know what's happening, you're already pretty separate from the experience because you're going in there again with that idea of spray paint to affirm the words in your head about what happens in the sky. And if that's what you want to do, well, bring on the spray paint. There is another opportunity though, and this begins with your capacity for meditation, for somatic mindfulness, for orienting yourself to the world in a way that's coherent, which means you've figured out a way of connecting and lining up your six minds in a way that makes you feel fundamentally and completely you. And it's all about that whole complete sense of yourself. So in the last 44 days, we've hopefully had some tangible experiences of all of that, especially the coherence. So what if the sky is only able to reflect down to us what it is that we actually radiate towards it? And I don't know how to really talk about this without just talking about this in a really, I guess, I don't know, childlike way. If the sky is radiating down the face that meets the faces that are looking up to it, that begets the statement that we are made in the image of what's going on in the sky. Or what we see in the sky can only be seen if it looks enough like us to matter. So what if when the wolves look up to the sky, they see a person? Well, it's not going to help the wolf religion people very much. But if wolves look up and they see something that has to do with wolfing coming back down, especially powerful and wise and all the good things that good wolves would want to be, then that sky mirror is an effective mirror for whoever is looking up to it. I mean, you could think of Klingons and aliens and whoever. So that's hopefully a bit humorous, but hopefully a bit meaningful too. Because this belief that we can literally know the truth of what is behind all of what is kind of insane. And I'll get into that on Thursday in the sense of actual physics, just for fun. So if we look up to the sky with our full radiant being, our full radiant heart, and radiate our most powerful, beautiful, humble, compassionate, kind, patient, willing, just, let the words roll. If we can radiate into the sky world what it is that we would hope and dream and aspire to becoming if we were to look down from the sky world, then that seems to be the most real, honest, authentic, best bet if you're a betting kind of person around what that aspect of spiritual practice would be. So that's a state. I mean, there's no narrative except for lovely adjectives to describe what it's like to be a wholehearted, radiant reflection of what it is we aspire to be when we're a wholehearted, radiant reflection reflecting back down. Weird aside, one of my most powerful ayahuasca experiences was really about that, going to sit in the sky world and realize that, at least for me, the next place would be to be what a medicine person would be after they passed away. And I was actually in the sky world looking through the embers of a fire down at the people I knew in the world. And as I was, rattling over them and blowing smoke over them and stuff like that, it was kind of like the most humbling, but the most honest experience of what happens when you die is, well, now you're infinite energy. Are you just going to go off and be universing, or are you going to take care of your peeps? So who knows what all the layers to the universe are, and we'll pick away at that a bit in a couple of days. But the one thing that I can say from my experience, and that doesn't mean it's more than your experience, it's just my experience. Fill the sky with all that you can imagine of you, and fill the sky with all that you can imagine of you, reflecting all of that you can imagine the sky pouring down to all of us. And that's more of a Taoist kind of indigenous way of looking at this, but it's about state, because that's what the sky mirror is about state. Perhaps another weird example would be what it's like to be in a sweat lodge when we're singing these songs that, when you translate them, they're not saying kumbaya, we're all happy together. You're wailing in ways that call the ancestors to notice how much suffering you're going through, so that maybe they'll show some pity on you and bless your people. So that's a state. You can't sing those songs and fake it. At least that's been my experience. So if we're thinking of moving our meditation, mindfulness, cold showers, sobriety practice into what you might call spiritual life, it's about profound, resonant, coherent states more than stories and narratives, at least from this way of approaching a spiritual life. I mean, read the books, why the hell not? But somewhere between blessing the world and wailing for the world is a pretty big menu or rainbow palette of states that I would estimate are fundamentally the truth of existence. And if we're going to have a relationship with some iconic reflection in the sky, the truth of existence seems like the only place to start. And again, it's a state. It's a lot of very, very profound, coherent living states. So, I'm in no way comfortable putting it out there that I want to guide you through your experience and relationship with what I would call your sky mirror. So I'm not going to go there. But if you're trying to find a way to build that relationship and move things out of your way, we've just spent 6.5 weeks becoming very coherent and aware, and hopefully humble, and in a way strong with our cold showers and our sobriety and our daily practice. So if there's any need for an intermediate way to understand what we want to bring into the relationship with our sky mirror, it would be, again, the breath work, working with visioning, or just, holding breath work and activating the mind. So I'll bring up one opportunity and one example, without being direct about it. So let's say you're doing your breath work, you're doing your deep tortoise breathing, you've really worked at the process to the point where you can feel your whole spine opening up. And at this point, you'd actually be using the contraction at the bottom of your body to point towards your pineal gland just a little bit. And like I said, we're going to learn three other small details to finish the breath work. But what if that actually gives you a sense of opportunity to visioning? Because what I like to do sometimes, and this is just what I like to do, is to actually open the pineal gland a little bit. And then, instead of thinking of it as the third eye moving forward through my forehead, I just think of it as like a satellite dish that's pointing right up at the sky. So if you're ever working with your tortoise breathing and guiding energy up and down your spine, up and down the elevator of breath, then you can just open the top of your head and radiate what it is that you would like the sky mirror to see of you, and or absorb what it is the sky mirror is radiating down through you. And then it becomes kind of like a conversation of states and reflections and visions, and hopefully not too much narrative. So that's hopefully helpful. Hope I didn't step on anyone's toes. So tomorrow we're going to learn about the mind I call the Earth Garden. And I'll give you some examples in a way of how to play with that again as a state. And then I'll direct you to a couple of teachings that you can find online, just to make sure that within the 20 minutes we usually spend together, we don't take up too much time. So just a few more days to go, I think four left, and we're going to do the Earth Garden and then some really goofy stuff around how physics might explain all this stuff in a really beautiful way. Then some Qigong, and then we're going to actually do a bit of a breathwork practice with some other support, which I'll bring up on Saturday, and then we'll finish it up on Sunday. And then you have done a rite of passage of 49 days of showing up, which is amazing. So see you tomorrow morning for the Earth Garden. And again, any questions or comments or ideas, send them my way. I'll just keep throwing this out there. The cleanse starts tomorrow, 6:30 p.m. If you've never spent 10 weeks really learning about how your body works and taking care of it, that's the time to do it. All right. See you in the morning, folks. Keep breathing, and blessings. Four more days. Oh, my God.